Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, hello. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. We made it to Friday, and more significantly, actually worked 5 days this week. I a little bit strange, just saying. A little bit arduous, kind of like a marathon. Feel like Forrest Gump going back and forth across America running. But, you know, we made it to Friday, and you did too, so congratulations. Anyway, a lot of things to get into this morning. A lot of comments on certain videos I posted last night, going out with friends, and yes, Mrs. Nerd's nose just happened to itch at the same time the video went on before she said hello to you, and that, of course, was directed at me and not you, as made clear in the post, and of course, Bill Mason was there. A lot of fun last night. I enjoy Thursday nights. I don't know what night you go out, but Thursdays are a lot of fun. Looking forward to maybe a quiet Friday night. Just a nice, quiet, chill, laid-back Friday night. You know, did you ever used to go to the movies? There was a time when almost every weekend you would find us at a movie, and then that evolved into going out to see bands and live music, and that continues to evolve. Anything you do in your life is always an evolution, and ideally it is an evolution of fun. Those of you who are in Canada, that might be evolution of fun, I think, depending on where you might live in the Great White North. We have many things we're going to get into today. We're actually going to get into UFOs in just a little bit. UFOs. Uh-huh. Nope, it's not coast to coast. Nope, I'm not George Norrie, but UFOs have actually gone mainstream. How many of you watch Ancient Aliens? How many of you? Maybe one, two? Okay, well, that's a start. Also, we're going to do the natural gas thing again. Coming up right after the news at 4:30, we'll have the State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort on with us. He's got a petition online to stop any ban of natural gas appliances in New York State. I put a link up on the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page. I certainly hope you will check it out. Always good to hear Lauren Fix on with David Bellavia, the car coach, 12:30 until 1 every Friday. Naturally, she has strong opinions on EVs and everything underlying that. And Frank Panasek mentioned this yesterday, but this natural gas situation has put Governor Hochul's political future into some doubt. Now, she did win election just a couple of months ago. She won election to the job she inherited due to Andrew Cuomo's resignation. But my understanding is that many Democrats are not very happy with being put on the spot over this proposal coming from the governor's office and the State of the State address. And the proposal is just that at this point. In case you didn't hear yesterday, I was in error a few days ago, and I have corrected that error. But if I make an error, I like to own it, and I like to make sure that you know exactly what the situation is. There is no bill that has even been clocked into the state legislature. No bill that's even been clocked in to the state legislature. Therefore, there is no bill waiting on Governor Hochul's desk to be signed, as I erroneously told you earlier this week. In my defense, I did talk to several people who gave me that information, so apparently it is a widespread misconception, but that does not relieve me of the burden of having given you bad information, and I always appreciate it when you correct me on bad facts. Opinions are opinions, and we're never going to agree 100% of the time on everything, okay? Like Bill Mason, very dear friend. We don't agree on much politically, but I'm going to tell you something. I would give him the shirt off my back. He would give me the girdle from his stomach. In fact, he did just last night. And he wouldn't even let me buy anything. I told him pizza was on me, and he paid before I could even get the bill. Don't you hate it when people do that? But he's a great guy. So anyway, yeah, opinion-wise, we might not agree 100%, you and I. But in terms of fact, if I give you a bad fact and you know it's a bad fact, I want you to correct me. There's nothing at all to offend me in giving me a corrected fact, because believe me, there's no upside to me giving you bad information. I wouldn't intentionally do that. So if you ever hear me with a fact that isn't correct, always feel free to email me. Believe me, I don't take it personally. Well, I take it personally, but only because, Tom, you idiot, you'd better correct that as soon as possible, because I don't like to be, I don't want to give out misinformation. There's certainly enough of that in the media. And if I do, just believe me, it is not intentional. I would never intentionally give out a bad fact. Again, there's no upside to that for me whatsoever. Anyway, I'm so glad that you were with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yesterday, I was just clearing on out of here when news hit that David Crosby died. David Crosby, one of those icons of music, his flowing long locks, his walrus mustache, a storied career. And David Crosby, again, died, member of the Byrds, BYRDS. And, of course, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And joining us is a guy we turn to for information and reaction whenever a musical icon dies, because he's made his career in music, a member of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, virtuoso guitar player, All-Star Project. He's also taken part in an Eagles tribute band. And he is, and he had a song in the movie Spaceballs. Very important to point out. My brother, Dick Bowerly. Dick, thanks a lot for joining us. Much appreciated.
Hey, Tom, you have an action-packed show today. I can't wait to hear the UFO part.
Yeah, well, we've been interested in that stuff since we were kids, even though you are significantly older than I.
Well, yes, I am. And real quick, for your listeners, you know, if they're intrigued by what you're going to be talking about there, there is an excellent series on Amazon Prime called E.T.'s Among Us. It's a three-part series. And if anybody doesn't believe in UFOs or why we don't know more about them, watch this series, because it explains everything, and it will scare you. Even my wife, who is always a little skeptical on this, even she watched it with me, and she came away a lot more convinced than she previously had been. So anyways, there's a little amplification for the show you'll be doing a little bit later on, and I know that's not why you called me, I guess we should talk about David Crosby.
Oh, but we'll do that in just a minute. I'm kind of curious now as to the premise of UFOs, Aliens Among Us. Is that the name?
Yeah.
And what is its premise, that there are actually people who are aliens, or that the aliens have arrived?
All of the above. And that Roswell was real, and a lot of the, and there were other crashes prior to Roswell. A lot of this stuff was reverse engineered. But that's not necessarily what we see. And the whole reason, again, I don't want to get political, but that's, you asked me the premise of the thing. The reason that we don't know about UFOs is because the technology is so great and easily copied, and 1% of the world's population owns 75% of the wealth. And these are the people that are making a lot of money by not allowing this new technology, which is much, much better energy, cheaper energy, not the crap that's being thrown down our throats now. These people would, like, basically not be powerful anymore. And there's a deep state called the National Security State that is an arm of the CIA that is basically subverting all this information because they don't want us to know.
I got to check. Sounds right up my alley. I mean, I know that there's been some speculation that the cloaking or invisibility technology actually had its origins in reverse engineering of alien technology. That is simply speculation. I don't know that I buy that or I don't buy it, but I know that that is, you know, it seems very, very sci-fi-ish until you actually see it in action. And then it's like, wow, this stuff really exists.
No, and real quick, the other thing that was really captivating, do you remember years ago when they released a small segment of the alleged alien autopsy video?
Yeah.
Well, they showed almost the whole thing in this documentary, and they had a surgeon on who was reviewing the actual autopsy, and he pointed out that thing was real. And he explained, I mean, it is remarkable. He explains that here's the autopsy, and here's why it is real. Look at this muscle fiber. Look at this. Look at that. And then they also talked to one of the people that worked with Spielberg and does all his special effects, and he said, we could never do this. We could never replicate this. This is real. So it's very captivating. I mean, again, if you're a non-believer, you should really watch this thing because it is a great series, and there's four parts altogether, and I was spellbound.
See, I thought that alien autopsy was debunked. They were looking at even such things as the telephone and the wire between the phone and the handset, as I recall, from back in the 80s or 90s, and that was just not a real thing. But you're saying that the people on this program anyway say it was a real autopsy of a real alien?
That's correct, and they get into anatomical explanation to prove that. And by the way, the word that you just used, debunked, that is a recurring theme throughout this documentary because they mention how this national security state, how they have people and how they manage misinformation to debunk anything that is real. And don't forget Hynek, who is a scientist that used to be employed by Project Blue Book back in the day. He quit because they were trying to tell him to basically lie to the public, and he said, I'm just not going to lie to the public anymore. UFOs are real. Don't tell me to tell other people that they're not.
Not I mean, to nitpick, but wasn't it Alan Hynek?
Yes.
Alan Hynek, okay.
Yes.
Well, we all got to check that out. It's Amazon Prime, and it's, what is it called again?
It's called ET's Among Us.
ET's Among Us. All right, I got to check that out. Now,
you'll love it. You'll love it.
Well, I never should have brought up UFOs with you on the line because now I just want to sit here and talk UFOs with you. But the reason we called you because of your musical background, obviously, is to talk about David Crosby, who died yesterday. Cannot believe he actually lived that long, given the abuse that he put his body through, the liver transplant many years ago. But he made it into his 80s. Of the three, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Stills is the youngest. I think he's 78. But why was David Crosby, with his long flowing locks and his walrus mustache, an icon? What made David Crosby David Crosby?
Well, number one, he really was a great singer. He had great musical DNA. And again, he was part of, as you mentioned earlier, two of the most iconic American bands of all time, you know, the Byrds and the Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, or whatever. I did see David Crosby, by the way, with Graham Nash in the Falls a few years back. He was a bigger than life musical icon, and I say that because some people loved him, other people didn't like him, again because of the liver transplant that you mentioned, how he got his before maybe other people more deserving got theirs. So he was kind of blatantly political at a time when it wasn't really cool for musicians to be blatantly political. I think I showed you the scene from the Monterey Pop Festival where he went into this tirade about the JFK assassination, and his bandmates did not appreciate it because he basically came out and said, you know, hey, the government killed JFK, the CIA did it, and everybody thought that was a terrible thing to say. Turns out he was right. You know, but, you know, I guess in 3 years or 4 years after the fact, it was not cool for a performer to be on stage and go into a political tirade. But David Crosby didn't care. He was part of that Laurel Canyon clique, by the way, which is another great documentary that explains the synergy between people like Crosby, Roger McGuinn, the Mamas and the Papas, and yes, even the Monkees. They all lived in an area called Laurel Canyon, and they all went and got blasted together and hung out together. So the musical influences, you know, kind of flew back and forth amongst all of them. And he was one of the ringleaders. He and Cass Elliot, you know, were probably the king and queen of decadence of that particular locale.
Wow. Cass Elliot, of course, Mama Cass, Mamas and the Papas, and went off, had a solo career, was doing very well, and then died in London, not from eating a ham sandwich. She had a cardiac issue. Just that whole ham sandwich thing was a total myth. I don't know how it got started, but it certainly has been perpetuated in pop culture over the years. You mentioned David Crosby's singing. You also mentioned the synergy, and you mentioned having seen Graham Nash and David Crosby together in Niagara Falls. And when you compare, when you look at, when you listen to the musical harmonic synergy between Nash and Crosby and their voices, leaving Stills out of it for the time being, it was really amazing. It was angelic. David Gilmour actually brought David Crosby and Graham Nash on stage to do Shine On Crazy Diamond. In one of his shows, and it was just, it's online, and it's just an amazing performance.
Yeah, well, they, you know, again, you know, I had all the early Birds albums, and, you know, I played the first Crosby, Stills, and Nash record, of course, back in those days, and Deja Vu, which was the second one. I wore those records out. I mean, those records were just, you know, to me, an incredible illumination of, you know, what I wanted to be, you know, as a, you know, as a musician. So, I mean, I speak very highly of them, and you're right. The blend of the voices between Nash and Crosby, sometimes you really almost couldn't tell them apart if they were singing in a lower register. Obviously, Graham Nash had that piercing high voice, and he was always pretty easy to pick out.
Yeah, even going back to his days with the Hollies, you can obviously hear Graham Nash in the mix. But it, you know, it's amazing how some people's voices just blend together so amazingly. And David Crosby and Graham Nash, a great example of that. And throw Stephen Stills into the mix. And you know, Stephen Stills wrote so many of Crosby, Stills, and Nash's big hits and is just obviously a phenomenal guitar player. Still is.
Yeah, I think he had a stroke, though. I've noticed that when they interview him now, he seems to have some speech difficulties. But, I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny that. But, you know, your Crosby, again, he was a character. I mean, maybe that's part of what will be his legacy, is that, you know, great musician, in part weirdo, okay, by his contemporaries. But, you know, one thing that you would appreciate, and I appreciate, he was not afraid to express his opinion, even if the timing was maybe not always appropriate.
No, it certainly, you mentioned the fact that he was political. I mean, I think of songs like Long Time Gone, which David Crosby wrote, I believe, right after the assassination of Robert Kennedy, and Almost Cut My Hair.
Yes. Let your freak flag fly, if you remember the line in that song.
Yeah, now, Stephen Stills, now, he apparently did not have any stroke, but he did have surgery for prostate cancer back in 2008, and maybe, you know, maybe it's just a function of his getting a little bit older. And obviously, these guys put their bodies through incredible torment. I mean, even Graham Nash now has a full head of white hair. He's not gone the dying route. I mean, as in dyeing your hair.
Well, right. And, you know, I was thinking when I heard that David Crosby passed, you know, yesterday, I'm thinking to myself, and I don't mean to make light of it, but I'm thinking somewhere in the world, Keith Richards is going, I beat you, you know.
You know, that's really a great point, because he, you know, somebody once joked that in the event of World War III, there would be two things alive in the world, Keith and cockroaches, and that's about it. He does seem indestructible. Stand by, if you would, Dick, talking about David Crosby, who died yesterday. The Byrds, very iconic rock and roll Hall of Fame group. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, obviously another iconic Hall of Fame group. And as we think about the people who've actually made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, one of the most egregious failures of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is its failure to induct Three Dog Night. One of the guys in Three Dog Night, Corey Wells, was his stage name, was obviously a Buffalo boy. And the fact that the Three Dog Night guys are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is absolutely, it's outrageous. And the excuse that they gave was, well, you guys didn't write your own songs, to which their response has always been, yeah, well, have you thought about Elvis much? So win on that one to Three Dog Night, but they're still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, despite a string of hits and incredible albums that sold in their millions. It is Bowerly 227 at News Radio 930 WBEN. More on David Crosby and music on News Radio 930 WBEN with my brother Dick Bowerly next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shells lie scattered in the sand, winking up like shining.
David Crosby, Graham Nash, and a song called Leisure. I thought it was David Crosby's best solo song. News Radio 930 WBEN. David Crosby, the Byrds, Crosby, Stills, and Nash died yesterday. Made it to his 80s, which I think is extraordinary given his storied past. My brother Dick Bowerly, member of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, the Kenmore East Performing Arts Hall of Fame, but most importantly, with a song in the Mel Brooks movie Spaceballs, is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we've talked about the blending of the voices and how good, how big Crosby, Stills, and Nash were, and obviously the Byrds. But, you know, one thing I always wondered, Dick, is you take these people who are considered icons, whether it's Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, Bob Dylan, and I always wonder how they feel about the fact that their work is decades old, and they haven't had a new hit in a long time. What happens to somebody? Do they just burn out of their ability to write amazing songs? Is it people's taste in music? Obviously, that changes. It's all hip-hop now and that kind of stuff, the techno as well. What happens?
That's a good question. I mean, if there was an answer to that question, then people like McCartney and Stephen Stills would still be writing good songs. But I don't know. Maybe it just the well runs dry after a while, and maybe they just feel that they reach a point where they begin to copy themselves too much, and then they just feel like it's no longer something that is valid or something that they're proud to play for people. That's the best answer that I can give, is that, you know, you write so many great songs, there's a come a point where you begin to repeat yourself a little bit. And when you repeat yourself, it becomes obvious to your fans. And when it becomes obvious to your fans, well, then it's sort of, you know, all of a sudden the legacy begins to get a little tarnished. That's the best answer I can come up with on that.
Well, in talk radio, I wouldn't know anything about repeating myself. David Crosby died yesterday, and we're talking about it right now on News Radio 930 WBEN. Dick, for those who might be a little bit younger, how big were the Birds back in the day? Roger McGuinn, David Crosby, and we could go through the roster, but well, you probably will, but how big were they?
They were huge. I mean, they were probably the first, I hate to use this term, but they were probably the first folk rock band that came out, and their legacy really was because they really came out of with McGuinn and some of the other guys in the band, including Crosby. They came out of the folk scene, and when the Beatles came out, it was like, hey, you know, there's more to music than this three chord stuff that we're doing, and you know, maybe we should try to rock it up a little bit more. And I think that that really was their legacy. They were a transition from folk, but from the Birds, you know, came so many others. I mean, ultimately, you could say, well, Poco came from the Birds. You could say the Eagles came from the Birds. I mean, the lineage, they started that whole kind of country folk rock thing that became real popular and was prevalent all the way through the 70s and into the 80s.
And if you don't understand the relevance of Roger McGuinn and the Birds, I would urge you to take a look at Tom Petty, who definitely was influenced by Roger McGuinn and the Birds, no doubt about it. By the way, Dick, obviously he is still very much alive, but Roger McGuinn, just an amazing guitar player. I had a chance to see him and talk to him extensively after a show in Buffalo at the old Trough. And one of the things that just blew me away was how incredible he was on guitar. And he was certainly not a three-chord guy.
No, he definitely was not. I mean, and again, some of their recordings, you know, bordered on the psychedelic era a little bit too. I mean, if you listen to their 5D album, they're doing songs like 8 Miles High and some other things that were very incredibly inventive and I think arguably, you know, ahead of their time. So again, they evolved. And then what's funny was they ultimately ended up getting back into the country stuff. Now, of course, Crosby was long gone by this point. They kicked Crosby out after his tirade at Monterey, as I understand it, because, you know, Crosby, again, as I said, you know, loved and admired as a musician, but a lot of the people that work with him didn't really like him. I mean, even Stephen Stills said, well, you know, we butted heads quite a few times, you know, so, I mean, he was very difficult to get along with. I think he was very temperamental, very opinionated, and that doesn't always sit well in the context of a band. It really doesn't.
And talking about how big the Birds were, the other band with which David Crosby had much success, obviously, was Crosby, Stills, and Nash. What made them so good? And I have to ask you that because when you look at the second time they performed together as a trio, well, actually, Neil Young joined them on stage at Woodstock, but you listen to their Woodstock set, and frankly, it wasn't that good, and you listen to the Four Way Street live album, it also was not very good at all. But what made Crosby, Stills, and Nash so incredibly awesome?
I think it was two things. It was A, it was obviously, it always starts with the songs, right? And then B, they cut their eye teeth, kind of setting the standard for, you know, for harmony in pop songs, I think. I mean, yes, I know there were the Everly Brothers. I know there were the Beatles and the Beach Boys. I get all that. But what they did in the context of a more modern style of music for that time, late 60s, early 70s, it was a first. And that's what made them great. But, I mean, if you said, well, what's the one biggest thing, I would have to say it always is the songs. And the songs were great. Right?
Absolutely. They were. You mentioned that you saw David Crosby and Graham Nash together. Did you ever see the three of them or the four of them together live?
I did once, believe it or not, but it was briefly. A good friend of mine, Bob Morrow, was getting married at the old Odd Club, and that coincidentally, that same night, Crosby, Stills, and Nash were doing a concert downstairs, so Mary and I walked down, and we stood in the back of the Odd near the end of their show, and for about 5 or 6 minutes, I did see Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, I saw them a few times, and also saw Graham Nash solo, had a chance to talk to all three of them at one time or another, but it was... you know, they were something, and you know, they released an album in the they released a couple of albums later on in their career, which really were quite good, and I thought underrated. A lot of great songs in the later discography, if you will, of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And you know, Dick, the other thing you mentioned, Keith from the Rolling Stones before, Brian Wilson is still alive. You alluded to the Beach Boys, and again, here's a guy who put his body through so much abuse. Mike Love told me Brian Wilson smoked so many cigarettes, that's why he can't sing anymore.
Yeah, I think some of it gets into it must have something to do with DNA. I mean, look at how many people that I knew personally or knew of that were like athletic and they'd run 5 miles a day, and then the next thing you know, they dropped dead of a heart attack. So, I mean, DNA, I think, must play some role in longevity. And oh, by the way, real quick, because I don't want to mislead your loyal listeners. That UFO show I alluded to, it's not Aliens Among Us, it's ETs Among Us.
Yeah, ETs.
So just if people are interested, it's ETs Among Us. Watch it. You will be blown away. That's all.
Yeah, by the way, you don't have to worry about any of the bad DNA, because I'm pretty sure that I got it all in the family, so you should be good to go for another 20 years.
Well, I know you've actually been through a lot, and you know, I realize that I'm always on call, Tom, because you're out.
Thank you.
I never know when I'm going to get that 7 o'clock in the morning call. Hey, Dick, it's Tim. Can you do Tom's show today? And of course, I love subbing for you, even though the quality is nowhere near as good when I'm on as when you're on.
No, it's much better.
But Dick, I enjoy it.
I want to thank you very much for joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. One more question I have for you. David Crosby will be remembered as?
I would just say as a prolific artist of the rock era, of the early rock era, 1965 through 1975. He is, you know, one of the top five, one of the top six in my book, anyways. And of course, that's subjective.
Well, I mean, you do have to admire a guy who can have a net worth in the tens of millions of dollars, who you know, rails against the 1%. You got to admire that.
Oh, I definitely, you know, you and I think we both would admire that part of him. And again, you know, not to overstate it, because I know it's one of your favorite topics, but what he did at Monterey was really a different thing for that time period. I mean, to get on stage in front of, you know, thousands of people and say, hey, the CIA killed JFK, you know, I mean, that was pretty radical and pretty ballsy of him to do that.
Yeah, and he still made it into the 80s. He's not part of the book Hit List by Richard Belzer, so that's a good thing. Thank you very much, Richard. Always a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
Yes, we will. Have a great show, Tom.
I'll try. Dick Bowerly, my brother, member of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, virtuoso guitar player, and yes, he did have a song in Spaceballs. You know, that whole conversation got me to wondering... I'm just curious. A couple of things that I want to ask you here. When it comes to music, to what do you listen? Like, what is your go-to music? I have to admit, I have a lot of Crosby, Stills, and Nash music. I have a lot of Bob Dylan music. I mean, I've even got Lottie Lenya doing Maki Messer in German somewhere around in my musical files. Your go-to music, is it the classic rock stuff? Is it country? And if it's country, is it the newer stuff? Is it the older stuff like Hank Williams Sr.? But what is your go-to stuff? And if like, who would be, if somebody announced that they were on tour and they were going to do a show at the stadium or the arena, for whom would you be first in line to get tickets? You know, who are your musical go-tos? And you know, I was thinking about this because in every generation, I heard a comedian last night on one of the comedy channels doing a bit on the fact that every generation thinks that its music was better than anything that is out in the current day. Like, I think this starts somewhere around the age of 35 or possibly 40. Personally, as far as new, I don't do, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, I don't do most of the newer music. Some of it, yeah, but not a lot of it. I am married to the stuff with which I grew up, the stuff that I listen to, because every song, every song, when you hear it, you can put yourself back in the place you were when you first heard it. And look, I know I can't be the only one. We had a chance to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash at Canandaigua, or not Crosby, we had a chance to see Hall & Oates at Canandaigua just a few months ago. And the place was, if it wasn't sold out, it was really close to it. And Hall & Oates were absolutely sensational. I mean, there was one time that concerned me, and that is when Daryl Hall was at the keyboard, and he had to ask John Oates what key a song was in. And I'm a little bit concerned about Daryl and his mental agility. I hope that he's not losing that, but unfortunately, you know, that's something that comes with getting older. Now, whether that was just a brain glitch like we all have, or whether that's a sign of something to look out for in the future, I don't know. Daryl Hall still looks better at, 80 years old than a lot of people do in their 40s. He certainly hasn't lost his sex appeal and his charisma, but when he forgot what key a song was in that he's played a lot, that was somewhat disconcerting, not going to lie. But Hall & Oates packed him in. Jeff Lynne's Electric Light Orchestra, had a chance to see them right before the pandemic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, along with George Harrison's kid, Danny Harrison. It was a terrific show. But the music that you listen to, you've got your go-to stuff, right? And then what surprises me, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but there's music that when it was out and when it was big and when it was just everywhere, maybe you didn't like it too much. For example, the music of the 1980s, being alive and sentient somewhat in the 1980s, I was not really in to 1980s music. I didn't really care for it that much. I didn't care for 80s music until seeing Nerds Gone Wild for the first time in 2015. And after that, 80s music suddenly started to resonate because it was a lot of fun. And Eddie Tabone, the drummer, he usually speeds things up. He plays at a much faster tempo than the original song, and it works. It makes it a really fun show anytime you have a chance to see the Nerds. I still love going out to see Nerds Gone Wild. But one of the things, too, that you notice, I don't know if this is the same for you as for me, but back, 7 years ago, if a band started at 9:30 at night, it was no big deal. Okay, we'll go out, we'll leave at 9 o'clock, we'll get there at 9:15, we'll get a good place in front of the band, and we'll stay out till midnight and go home. Well, whether it was the pandemic or whether it was just getting older, I don't know, the 9:30 start times, not a real big fan of those start times. Really am not. But the classic rock that people like Hit and Run, Flipside, that they do is terrific. 45 RPM, they do a terrific show. Midlife Crisis was tremendous. I had a chance to see them one time. But it's the music they play. There's something that to me is absolutely timeless. And I love the classic rock. I mean, this is just speaking personally. Just love the classic rock. There's a lot of country stuff that I love. A lot of the classic country stuff that I love. Rodney Crowell, She's Crazy for Leaving. That is just one of the greatest songs ever, in my opinion. Joe Walsh, a member of the Eagles. Before that, James Gang. There's a local guitar player, Dave Viterna, who is absolutely, if you've never seen Dave Viterna play, you need to see Dave Viterna play because he absolutely rocks it. And he'll do Hendrix. He'll do just everything. He'll do Joe Walsh. And it's just amazing. It is spellbinding. It is it's beyond words. That's how he's really, really good. He's amazingly talented. He could take a $50 guitar and make it sound like a custom $10,000 build. He's just got that kind of feel. Jamie Hulka is another one who is just terrific. Nori Bucci, had a chance to see her over the weekend, and she's a great local guitar player. But it's the music they play. There's a band that does a lot of stuff from the 1990s. I mentioned Bill Mason before. Bill Mason drums with pretty much every band in Western New York, but Bill plays with a band called Lithium. And I think the name of the band kind of synopsizes the kind of music they do. But it's really good. And this, again, music that I didn't particularly care for when it was big, when it was out, when it was fresh, when it was new. But having a chance to see people doing it live, doing cover versions of the stuff live, it gives you a new appreciation. I mean, what was the last CD that you bought? And speaking of music, see, this is something that needs to be addressed. Where do you turn to for music? See, in the old days, you used to have a receiver, all right, an amp, a receiver. You used to have a turntable, a CD player, maybe a cassette player, possibly an 8-track player, if you're old enough to remember that. And it would take up, it could take up a wall of space very, very easily. And now, Everything has changed. I mean, there was a time. The last CD I bought was Christopher Cross, The Best of Christopher Cross. It's a great CD. And you know what? There's an example of a performer like Hall & Oates. We talked about this a few weeks ago, I think it was. But at the time, they were super big. I couldn't get into Christopher Cross, couldn't get into Hall & Oates. And I would have laughed if you'd have told me that you were going to see the Bee Gees. Remember that conversation we had? Now, when you go online and you check out the Bee Gees live, there's a great performance, one night only, that they did in Las Vegas. It's breathtaking. It's amazing. It is sheer genius. Same thing with ELO. I had a friend growing up. He was all about ELO. And there are a few songs that I thought were pretty good, but when it was like, okay, yeah, whatever, it's ELO. But now you go back and it's funny. When you're out, like at Russell's Steaks and Chops, okay, just to give you an example, he's got these big TV screens. And one of the things that he'll play a lot of is Jeff Lynne and ELO live. And that's what got me into really liking ELO. Like, wait a minute, they really are good. Jeff Lynne is really pretty amazing. And it's the same thing with the Bee Gees. It's almost like these people musically have always been in the background, but then you discover them, even though they have already been discovered. And some of them, you know, let's face it, are, you know, they're past their prime. They're considered old people in the music, in the world of music, but they can still resonate with you. I mean, Christopher Cross's Think of Laura is just, it's an amazing song. It's very catchy. It's very emotional. And it's an amazing bit of music. And then you find yourself, okay, why did he write that song? And it turns out that Think of Laura is about a friend of one of his ex-girlfriends who was killed accidentally in a shooting. She was in a car, and some idiots got into gunplay down the street, and she ended up catching a stray bullet and dying. That's what that song is all about. A lot of people thought it was about the soap opera. It wasn't about the soap opera. It was about something totally different that was adapted to the Laura character. But do you have a go-to music or kind of music? And one of the things, people laugh about this, but I got hooked on yacht rock. Yeah, it's a genre of music. It's called yacht rock, and it's really hard to describe. They play a lot of Jerry Rafferty. They play a lot of the Doobie Brothers, Al Stewart, Year of the Cat, things like that. It's a nice, mellow, relaxing kind of music. I mean, you're not going to hear Joe Walsh. You're not going to hear anything too heavy on yacht rock. But look, heavy stuff has a time and a place. My favorite Beatles song is Helter Skelter. And as far as albums are concerned, the Beatles' Abbey Road Side 2 is an absolute masterpiece. And when you saw McCartney in September 2015 here in Buffalo, he did a lot of that stuff from Side 2 of Abbey Road. And it was spellbinding. It was absolutely mesmerizing. But see, my go-to music, and I'm going to put yacht rock as a subdivision of classic rock, is classic rock. When it all comes down to it, you had to ask me to make a choice. it would be classic rock. And you may have the greatest album of all time. I mean, Hotel California by the Eagles. There's not a bad song on the entire album. It starts out strong, it finishes strong, and there's a lot of great stuff in the middle. But music is such a big part of our lives. The phone number, I want to continue this a little bit into the 3 o'clock hour, see if you guys want to play with me, not physically, but metaphorically on the radio. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Obviously, look, I really enjoy music, listening to music. It's a big part of life. Wish I knew more about it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.